Well, it is a joy to get to come to this part of the service, and we want to look into the Bible and let it look into us. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're looking at verse number 13. While you find your place there in Galatians chapter 5, I did hear this story about this new young pastor. He was trying to get into all of the different folks at the church, and especially he was trying to get into some of the shut-ins, the ones that couldn't get out. And he went to this nursing home, and this lady, it was a member of the church, Aunt Sally is what everybody called her. And so he went and sat beside her bed, and he was there talking with her, and he was very nervous. He was just trying to get in the groove of this pastoring thing, and so there's a bowl of peanuts there beside of her bed, and so he was just out of nervousness. He would just reach, and he'd eat and get them, and she didn't seem to mind, but he stayed there long enough, and he ate the whole bowl. As he stood up, he said, "I'm so sorry. It looks like I've eaten your whole bowl of peanuts." He said, "I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't even plan to eat any of them. I'm sorry. I just shouldn't have done that. That was rude." She said, "Oh, that's all right." She said, "No." He said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He said, "No." She said, "Really, that's all right." She said, "Oh, no, I feel so bad." He said, "That's all right." She says, "I've already gummed the chocolate off all of them anyways." So be careful where you eat at, I guess. We're looking at Galatians chapter 5. A week or two back, I preached about Jesus telling to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind when that person came up to that lawyer and said, "Tell me the greatest commandment." I believe he was trying to trick him. Well, this one maybe is a step up from there, from that message, just to continue on in that thought. I want to preach for a little while about this. We're looking at Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love the Lord thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And once you look back in verse number 1 of that chapter, the Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." In this passage, it's told to the people there as they're reading, you were saved by that, by Christ. And there are religions today, there are denominations today, there are groups right now meeting that would say you need to come to Christ, yes, and then do this. You need to come to Jesus Christ, receive His forgiveness, and they add to. But my friend, if you can realize with me that whenever you take the pure message of the gospel Jesus Christ gives, that you're supposed to come to Him in faith, the death, burial, and resurrection, that settled it. When you come to that, and you come to that faith, and then you say, "We've got to do that plus..." When whatever you say, "Well, plus what?" That's what I'm asking you. Plus anything is not the scriptural teaching, because the Bible says you come to Him by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. But what the scripture is instructing the people in verse number 1, "Stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again." And there are some folks that they are all tangled up, and they're counting Christ plus their good works, or plus their membership, or plus whatever, and they're counting on those things to get them one day to heaven. And so the scriptures are saying here, stand fast in that liberty, because that liberty is in Christ, and it's Christ alone. And then when you fast forward to the verse number 13 where we began, the Bible goes on to say, "For brethren, you've been called unto that liberty." What liberty? That liberty in Christ alone. And then I'm going to bring you to this next part, because there's another group of people who are saying, yes, you come to Christ and that's all there is. And that is all there is. But then there's a group of people who they say, "Now that I've come to Christ, I can live any way, do anything with anybody, with any time or at any time that I want to." And what the scripture is saying in verse number 13, don't use that liberty just as an excuse to do whatever your flesh wants to do. Because as a Christian, the Lord is directing me and leading me and guiding me, but my old flesh is still trying to get me to do anything that it wants to do. And so the scripture is giving that right, completely perfect balance. Yes, it's in the liberty wherein you're called. You're saved through Jesus Christ. But don't say that now that I'm saved, I can just treat people however I want to. because I don't have to live any certain way after I'm saved. When I got saved, then my wanter changed, meaning I wanted to do things differently than I did before. So we're going to preach through that just a little bit. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use that not for an occasion to the flesh. Father, be with us now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, we ask you to help this time. Amen. So we've got this wonderful passage of Scripture that tells us how we're supposed to behave toward others, because in verse number 14, it says, the law is fulfilled in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible says that I'm supposed to be a servant. You see that in verse number 13, that says we're supposed to serve one another. I'm the pastor of this church, but quite frankly, I'm the servant of everybody that's in here. You expected somebody to be up here, and here I am. I'm the servant, and I get the chance to serve our people, and you get the choice and the opportunity, rather, to serve other people in your family. You say, oh, I don't serve anybody in my family. Well, that's not a biblical family, because we're supposed to be serving one another. And so as we see that, we've all got the right, the liberty to say, well, I don't have to do anything to be in this family or in this church, and you're right. But because I'm in my family, I want to serve them. I worked for Larry Brown in Iowa for several years, and so when he grew up, he told the story different times. When he grew up, his mother would always clean the car out. That was just what she did all the time growing up, and she would always do that. Well, he married Diane and Diane Norman, and Diane's dad always cleaned out the car. That was just the man's job. That was just the man's job of the house. That's what he did. In Larry Brown's house, the lady just always vacuumed the car out and kept it nice. And so when they came together, he was not going to do woman's work, and she wasn't going to do the man's job. So that's your job, and no, that's your job. And as much as they weren't going to do the other's job, they were also equally as stubborn. And so they were sure not going to get dipped down and do the other one. And so Larry Brown said, well, we were just farming in the floorboards because there was junk and trash and all that. I wasn't picking it up. She wasn't picking it up because that wasn't our job. Do you say, I have liberty? I don't have to do that job. And you don't. But the Bible says I'm supposed to serve one another. So it's a wonderful thing in your Christian life, it's a wonderful thing in your family, when you get to realize, I'm not doing this because I have to, but I'm doing this because I get to serve my family. As a dad trots off to work, and he goes and he works a wonderful amount of hours to keep the food on the table, and then mom does work at the house and maybe other places, they are doing that. And yes, they're tired as all get out, but they are doing it because they are serving their family. So our homes are that way, the churches are that way supposed to be, but oftentimes our churches, our homes, our lives, we resemble more of a time or resemble more of an outfit that was looking out for number one. And we excuse it. We say, well, if I don't look out for me, who will? But God gives us that simple command in verse number 14, love thy neighbor as thyself. I want to preach for just a little while. The Bible says in verse number 14, it gives the need explained. Love thy neighbor as thyself. By love, serve one another in verse number 13. I've watched our ushers before when they're all the way over here and they see somebody that's in need over here, they'll come across the auditorium and just help somebody. Do they have to do that? No, it doesn't increase their pay one bit. Sometimes I tell our ushers, you've done such a good job, we're going to double your pay. But you know what 2 times 0 is, right? But I've watched them come across all the way from there over there to help somebody out. Why? Just because they want to serve them. They're there for that person. And I'm thankful that they are. But sometimes we get so much of a routine in what we do that we forget why we're there. You've all been to the DMV before, and it's not always a pleasant experience. You've been to the courthouse before. Hopefully it's not because you were arrested, but if it was, whatever. You've been to the courthouse before, you've been to the tax department, you've been to these different places, and when you get there, you understand that a lot of times they have to recite some verbiage that they're sometimes required by law to tell you. Have you ever been indicted? Are you an alien? Are you dependent on any drugs? They'll read down through this list, or they don't have to read through it anymore. They've said it so many times, but they mumble it because it's so routine to them that they're not articulating it all the time because they've done it again and again. Maybe you go to the post office, and the post office, the person working there behind the counter says, well, is there anything liquid, hazardous, flammable, perishable, ion batteries, et cetera, et cetera. And you know that they're not doing that for you. They're doing it because they have to legally say those things. You've been in situations, as I have I, when you felt the person wasn't doing what they were doing for you, they were just doing it for some other reason. But I'm here to tell you this morning that in our families, in our churches, if we're not careful, we can get as heartless as that person that's reading down through a list. When we went to England, you had to come back through customs and you had to do all of this work. And these people, they don't look up at you. Oftentimes, they're just looking down. They're reading all this stuff off. Do you do this? Did you bring this? Did you bring this? Did you bring this? Did you bring this? And finally, I said, no, I didn't bring anything we didn't take. It was American when I left. I'm American when I'm coming back. I didn't. But you could tell they were reading all those lists because they had to by some law. And if you're not careful, we can get to a place where we serve our family or don't serve our family with about as much enthusiasm as that bored worker at the customs station. But the scripture says very clearly that we are supposed to serve one another. And so if you are in your family, you've got a great opportunity to say, I'm going to serve the people that God has put me around. So first of all, I see that there's this simple this need explained. The golden rule still applies as we treat others the way we want to be treated. And so we see the need explained. But in my Bible, verse 14 and 15, I've got these phrases. I've got by verse number 14, the heavenly way. But right by verse number 15, I've written here beside of it, the earthly way. Let's look into it, because there's a warning given in verse number 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. There's another way to live. That first way was love your neighbor as yourself. Serve one another. Be good to those people. Serve your family. Serve your church family. Serve those coworkers. Serve those employees. Serve those employers that we're supposed to serve one another and be in this attitude. For a long time, I would try to make sure that I treated everybody good, especially when they knew that I was from the church. But you know, I realized something sometime back. Even if they don't realize I'm from the church, God knows where I'm from, and He knows who I am. And so I'm supposed to serve people whether they ever figure out whose name I bear anyways. But we see that's explained in verse number 14. But there's a horrible way to live. There's another way to live given in verse number 15. And that's exactly what it says, biting and devouring one another. You ever go to the dog pound? You go in there, and we had one dog from the pound that we got, and it was a disaster. He was a terrorist to our, it was a little part Jack Russell. And I think instead of Jack Russell Terrier, we called it Jack Russell Terrorist, because she was just a tragedy. It was a bad thing. So just always fat. The kids were afraid of her. My nephew and niece, they'd come down, they were afraid of her. Nobody liked her. And so it was just that way. You've been there, the pound, and they've got those cages. You know why they're there? Because dogs fight with other dogs. And if they all put them in there together, then one old poor little dog would get his killing done possibly by the other ones. My dad was trying to separate these two dogs one time, and they were friendly dogs, at least they had been up to that point. But boy, they were trying to tear each other up. My dad reached in there and tried to pull one of them off the other. He just laid the skin all the way back off his hand, and just one got in there. Oh, yeah, he's a nice dog. You ever hear those people say, oh, yeah, he's a nice dog. Is that why you got this big chain around him? Is that why you got this log thing around him? He's such a good dog. Yeah. He just doesn't like people. That's all. But the Bible says that if we divide, bite and devour in that dog-eat-dog world. But be careful, because the way you live might be the way you get taken out as well. So we've got a decision, my friend, to make. Do I live in that verse number 13 and 14 where I serve one another? My friend, I'm just trying to tell us that we've all got opportunity to be a servant to the people in your home. You've got a wonderful privilege to be a servant to those people that you work with. You know, I tell you, those people I work with, they need more than that. No, they need exactly that. They need you as a servant of Christ to go serve one another. But there is that other way, and that warning is given. If you live that other way, the world says what goes around comes around. God had it figured out long before the world ever came up with this little slogan, and that is, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we've got to be careful. The scripture says, if you do these things, then be careful, or take heed, rather, that you be not consumed one of the other. Now, here's the truth. If you're a Christian in this room today, you know that you're supposed to live in verse 13, 14, but you also know that you slip over in verse number 15 sometimes. You do get snippy and bite and devour one another. Here's the instruction. If you want to live in verse 14 instead of verse number 15, verse number 16 gives you the instructions. So if you're like me and this old world takes its toll on you, and you find it hard not to be biting and devouring sometimes, let's just call a little time out. We don't call it biting and devouring. We've got much more tame names for it. We call it standing up for yourself. We call it protecting what's yours. We call it taking care of business. We don't really like the way the Bible calls it, biting and devouring. That sounds so vicious, but that's truly what it is. When your family, your home looks more like a war zone than it does a reflection of God. When your marriage looks more like a disaster than it does something that's going to bring glory to God. When you, your life, instead of it being something that draws people to the Savior, it repels them. Sometimes we look at that and we say, wow, I would be categorized that biting and devouring, but God tells us how to stay out of that, and that's in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because that lust of the flesh is what's found in verse number 15. It's that biting and devouring. Now, oftentimes we think of lust and flesh, and we put those together, and we think that's some sensual thing out there or some sensual thing in here that shouldn't be going on, and meaning the physical flesh. But truly, lust is just desiring something that you want, and then that flesh is just something that is fleshly. It doesn't have to be sensual flesh. It can be any other thing, meaning that something that shouldn't be taking over you, but your flesh, that old nature, desires it. And so the Scripture says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you don't want to fulfill those desires, then you've got to continually walk in the Spirit. Say, Pastor, I've heard preachers say this for a long time, but I don't understand how to do that. It's simpler than we realize. We empty us of us by confessing sins and getting rid of those desires and those things that are wrong. Lord, forgive me. And then we ask to be filled. Lord, please fill me and use me as you would see fit. The ushers always have water cups up here, and one professor put it like this. I think I shared it sometime, but it might have been the evening service. Some of you might not. He had an empty one. And he asked the class, how do I get all the air out of this glass? It was not like this one, it was empty. And they'd come up with different ways. They'd come up with different ideas and some way to put a lid on it and suck all that air out of there. He said, yeah, but that would collapse it, and came up with other scenarios. And he went behind the podium and got a pitcher of water, and he filled it up. He says, when you fill it with water, all the air leaves. And that's the way we could live. When we get filled with God and we say, Lord, I'd rather you fill me instead of being filled with the desires of the flesh, the things that I want to do, the attitudes that I choose to have. God says here in His Word, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I've heard a story before, and true or not, it illustrates the point, that a missionary had gone and reached a lot of Native Americans in this one particular tribe. And the missionary had come back through some time later, and he was talking to one of the leaders of that tribe and who had accepted Christ as Savior. And he was asking him basically, how's it going? How's your walk with the Lord? And this person said, I feel like there's two dogs within me. He said, there's a white dog, wants to do right and wants to do the good things that he's supposed to do. And then there's a black dog that wants to do the things that he shouldn't do and wants me to do those things that would hurt people and harm my family. And the missionary asked the Native American, he said, well, which dog is winning? He said, it depends. It goes back and forth. Whichever one I feed the most seems to win. And my friend, that's the way we are as well. Whenever we start feeding that fleshly nature of, well, if I don't tell them, nobody will. If I don't just speak my mind, you know, that's just the way I am. They need to hear those things. It was true. Can I just stop you right there? A lot of things are true, don't need to be said. Well, if I don't express it to them, who's going to tell them? We can feed that old fleshly nature. Or we can get in the Word. We can get away from the things of this world. And we can feed the spiritual nature. And we truly would be like that Native American. We'd say, well, whichever one I feed the most seems to win. And I believe that there's a need in our churches today for people to walk in the Spirit of God. Do you know that we wouldn't have near as much trouble with Christians fighting and biting and devouring, just like it said in the verses prior to this one? We wouldn't have near the problem with people fighting and devouring one another if truly we would just yield ourselves to the Spirit and say, I want to walk in the Spirit of God. You understand that we wouldn't have that bickering and that infighting and people saying, well, that's the way I see it, or I don't know why they did that, or I don't know why in my family I can't have this. I don't know why he gets all the breaks. I don't know why dad doesn't let me do that instead of him. All that infighting could, much of that infighting could be pushed aside if truly we would walk in the Spirit. Sometimes preachers spend so much time on preaching what you shouldn't do and where you should be and what you shouldn't wear, and that's all good preaching, and it needs to be done. But I can tell you this, if we would walk in the Spirit, God would let us know so many of those different things as we get into His Word. Walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want you to incriminate yourself, but we could, if I did ask how many of you have a temper, I guess everybody has a temper, but some of you have a better one than others if you look at it in that way. Say, oh yeah, I got a good one. I'll show it to you sometime. I don't want to see it. But it's so easy for us to get in the flesh. Some of us are so quick-tongued that we can give a zinger of a comeback, and we can slice and dice somebody right there at the counter. Did they deserve it? Depends on how you look at it. Were they wrong? Sure. Did they do your order incorrectly? Yes. So in the world's eyes, maybe you were justified, but you weren't walking in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know it's more fun to just tell people what you think. I know it's more fun just to let whatever come out and just worry not about anybody's feelings. I know that, but that's not walking in the Spirit. And my friend, if you're a believer in this room today, can I challenge you to take that as your spiritual challenge this week? This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit? Say, Pastor, I'm still not sure on that. It's easier than you think, as I mentioned. Just get yourself empty of you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Confess everything. Get it out. And say, Lord, I just ask you to use me. Come through and live through me. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those, the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know that you don't produce those? They're the fruit of the Spirit. So all you've got to do is get out of the way and let the Spirit produce that fruit and use you as the vehicle, the fruit of the Spirit. But as long as we bite and devour, as long as we walk in the lust of the flesh, we will not produce, we will not see the fruit of the Spirit produced in our lives. I would love for your family to have a brand new somebody come this week, because you're striving daily to walk in the Spirit. Let me tell you how most of us live. Most of us live up and down like an old-fashioned yo-yo. When we feel good, we're pleasant to be around. We're happy. When we feel crummy, the world knows it. Now, obviously, there's going to be good days and bad days, but we shouldn't be held captive to that good or bad. We ought to walk instead in the Spirit. My pastor, who's my mentor, he's had active rheumatoid arthritis for years and years. They told him he'd be in a wheelchair long before the age he is now. Said he'd be 25 years ago, he'd be in a wheelchair, and he's not. In pain every day of his life, I'm sure. But he still tries to get up and be a blessing and an encouragement to people again and again, trying daily to walk in the Spirit. So we can't use the excuse, I don't feel good. How many of you didn't feel good this week? Well, the rest of you liars, I can tell. Because I know you didn't feel good all week. You made it. You got here. I'm thankful for that. All of us had some time this week. You had a headache. You had a toothache. You had an arm ache. Your back, your belly, and your both sides hurt. I don't know what happened to you, but all of you felt bad this week. So we can't go on our feelings. We got to walk in the Spirit. Would you take that as the biblical command? It's not a suggestion. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's that overriding, guiding principle. And I'm asking you to take it up as your mantra this week. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know all about that because I don't even know much about the Spirit because maybe you're not saved. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure Christ is your Savior personally, then I challenge you to come to Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches when Jesus saves your soul, the Holy Spirit takes residence in your life, and then you're able to yield yourself to Him. And perhaps the reason you're not able to live your life the way that you should is because you're trying to live it completely in the flesh. The Spirit of God does not reside in you. My friend, if that's you, I trust you'd get saved today. Let's walk in the Spirit. Would you bow your heads together? The lady is going to come and play something. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, it's a simple message. But we need our Christian brothers and Christian sisters to walk in the Spirit. Yes, you need to be less cutting. Yes, we need to be less divisive. Yes, we need to be less stubborn. Yes, we need to be a lot of stuff. But it's deeper than that. It's more basic than that. We need to walk in the Spirit. If you're here today as they begin to play, and God's challenged you with that, if I've challenged you, then not so good. But if God has challenged you, and you feel in your spirit, little s, that you want to walk in the Spirit, capital S, then I challenge you to make some commitments to God this morning. Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in your Spirit this week. I want it to be different. I want my wife to know somebody different this week than she usually knows. I want my children to know somebody different. I want my coworkers to notice there's something different. I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you're here this morning and that's you, I challenge you to do business with the Lord. One last one, as I mentioned earlier, if you're here and you're not saved, all of it seems a little strange to you. My friend, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. If that's you, I challenge you to come. In just a moment, we'll stand together. Let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be sure Jesus is your Savior and you're on your way to heaven. You can't walk in the Spirit without being born again. You need to be saved. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? As God's speaking to your heart, how about it? I can't be the only one that gets in the flesh. It's got to happen to you sometimes too. Why don't you do a little holy work with the Lord right there in your seat? And say, Lord, help me. I want to walk in the Spirit. If you want to come to kneel at the altar, you're welcome to pray here on the front pew or on the steps, anywhere. God's dealing with your heart. You come. Maybe you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. My friend, you need to be saved. Oh, I beg you to. Would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here at the front. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. As they play one more verse, if this is your verse, right there where you stand, tell the Lord, Lord, that's the way I need to be living. Pastor's right. I don't need to be biting and devouring and nipping at everybody's heels all the time. I need to be saved. amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Thank you for being in church this morning, and I trust that you just take that as a biblical command to get out and get led of the Spirit. This morning, Brother Ron Smith introduced me to Michael last week, and Michael and Kim Woods have been saved and baptized, and they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and Brother Ron's known them for a long time, right? Years, and praise the Lord for that, but they are wanting to join Buffalo Ridge. They're saved, baptized. We would just need a motion to accept them into membership. All right, Brother Shannon Barker makes that motion, and let's see, we just need a second. All right, Brother Morgan Edwards makes that second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Amen. Motion carries. And we praise the Lord for that and hope you'll get by and see them and be an encouragement to them. I was just want to share this with you. I slipped out of Sunday school. I was over with Josh earlier, and then I slipped out, and I went in my office to work on a couple things for this, and I was listening to our live stream of Brother Bob Edwards was teaching over in the victory class. And I loved the part that I caught, Brother Bob, was about Jesus Christ and the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the Bible says in the book of Revelation. And he brought it around to the great statement. I wrote it down here. The remedy was prepared before the wound ever occurred. Wow. It's wonderful to be saved. Thank you. Thank the Lord. As Becca sang earlier, if we ever had any doubt about the love of God, then Calvary settles all of that. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and dismiss us in prayer. If you get by and meet Michael and Kim and be a blessing to them, Amy and I are going to slip out in the lobby. If you're here and you're able, for that newcomer's luncheon, able to stay with us next week, sign up. We'll have the sign-up sheet with us. And then we'll ask Brother Bennix, if you don't mind, to slip back to the table and get to know them in preparation for tonight. And they'll be back there along with Amy and I, and we'll have a good time out there in the lobby. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for the reminder that we've been given this morning, just how we're supposed to walk through life. And yet, Lord, not just a reminder, but a promise that you've given that you'll accompany us and you'll help us, Lord. We can't always respond right. We can't always do the right thing because we're so imperfect. We're so broken and flawed. And yet, Lord, your Spirit resides within us. Help us to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Lord, use us, we pray. Bless us as we go. Thank you for allowing us to be together this morning. Bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.